In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We still are under that sadness that took the lives of 20 gorgeous babies. Oh, I watched their pictures last night. I saw their pictures and I started to weep. Beautiful children. And then the 6 adults who bravely gave their lives. You know, my friends, we live in a world that's very different than when I was growing up. Oh, we did not have an idyllic world, that's for sure. Nothing was idyllic. Nothing was the ideal. But I want to tell you, when I was growing up, we had family. And we had the extended family. And we were with each other. And we went on picnics. And we went to amusement parks. And we went out together and we visited each other. We had family. And I'm going to tell you, if I were the devil, the first thing I would destroy would be the building blocks of society, which is family. I would have them watching television instead of speaking to each other at dinner, even if they eat dinner together, because I'm told that so many children don't eat with their parents. We had family. My father had a chair, and none of us would dare to sit in my father's chair. He sat in the chair, and that was his chair. And he would come home exhausted because he started work at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And he would come home at about 5:30, 5:45. And we would all sit down together and eat together. I'm telling you, it wasn't idyllic. I did not come from an idyllic family. My father and mother are both Italian and not born in Italy, but they both had tempers and they were at each other's throats at times. So I'm not speaking about an ideal being raised idyllically. I'm speaking about a family who loved each other, even enough to fight and to make up, but enough to put us together and eat together. You know, it's so important that you be with your children at a certain time during the day, and that would be sacred time. Because if I were the devil, what I would want to destroy would be families. And you know, don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Sunday was a family day also. My uncle would come, and we would sit at the table. We would have pasta, and there would be a roast. Yes, there would be a roast, plus the meatballs, plus the sausages, whatever we had. I tell you, we had family. And the family altar was the table. And the table was always there for us every day, 7 days a week. Nothing got in the way of our eating together. Again, I was not born in an idyllic family. No one is idyllic. No one is ideal. We're all a bunch of broken vessels. We're all a bunch of cracked pots. No one. My father had to go to work at 14 years old when he was given a scholarship to go to a school for free because he was so bright. But my grandmother said, no, he's got to work for the family. My mother never had a mother. Her mother was sick from the time she was little. My father's father died when he was about 4. So you're not talking about idyllic. But one thing we did do together, we would be together. And Sunday was, we never thought of it as the Lord's Day. My parents did not go to church when I was a child. We thought of it as the family day. And we lived it as the family day. please, please, please look at your family, look at your children. Make sure that you are spending time with them. Make sure. Now that we have experienced the devastation in Newtown, Connecticut, I want to talk about families and God's provision. I'm looking at 2 Kings 25, verse 27. Israel is in captivity in Babylon. This is what is written. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity, that 37th year, of Jeconiah, king of Judah. Jeconiah was the king of Judah. In the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year he began to reign, he did lift up the head of Jeconiah, king of Judah, out of prison. So he took him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him. He was crazy king. And he spoke kindly to Jeconiah, the king of Judah, who was in Babylon. And he set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. So his throne was the highest throne. And changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. So he not only put the throne above all the other thrones, he fed him. And this is what I want to speak about, this 30th verse. And his allowance, that is the allowance of King Jeconiah, was a continual allowance given him by the king, by the evil king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. I'll read it again. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, that's the evil king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. In other words, he was provided for even in Babylon. God did not forget his people, and that the king that reigned in Judah now is being provided by an earthly evil king, and he's eating and he's dressed differently. Let me tell you, our provision is from God. Our provision is from God. Our provision is from God. And it is God who gives us what we need and what we want, more what we need. I'm telling you, if all the church tied their money, if all the church tied their money, there would be no need of having the government care for the people. There would be no need, because there's so much graft in the government. I told you, when it comes to the poor, 78% goes to the bureaucracy and 22% given to the poor. That's welfare. 78% goes to the bureaucracy and 22% goes to the poor. The allowance of King Jeconiah was a continual allowance given him by the evil king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. I'm going to change it now and say, and the allowance given to you was a continual allowance given you by the King of Glory, by Jesus Christ, a daily rate. Give us this day our daily bread for every day, all the days of your life. Oh yes, if you depend upon him, he will provide for you. He will provide for you. And he knows how to provide, because he is a father. God is father, and he is a father who provides for his children. And most of all, he gives us what we ask for, especially when we ask for the Holy Spirit. You children know how to give good things to your little children, you people. If the father is asked by his son for a piece of bread, he doesn't give him a stone. If he's asked for a fish, he doesn't give him a scorpion. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We need that Holy Spirit. He is the provision that gets us through life with power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. I'm talking to people that are living in this Advent season near Christmas, and you feel nothing is going to be provided. You can make your holy day a holy day. You know, yesterday I decided that the people that come on Christmas, you know, if I have nothing but pasta to give them, that's what they're going to eat, pasta, because we're going to be busy during these days. But I went to the market basket and I was able to buy a roast, so we'll have a roast. If I ever told you how much the roast was, you'd laugh. But I'll tell you how much the roast was, $103 for a roast. And I put it on my plastic card, and by the grace of God, I get provision from God. I get an allowance from God. It's nothing. $103 is nothing. And you know who's going to eat that roast? People that have no place to go. People that have no place to go. I remember when I was a child, my father would say, why don't we open the house for orphans? And I, as a little boy, I said, no, I don't want to do that. It'll take away from us. I was selfish. But you see, the Lord has placed me in a position where now I'm doing what my father told me to do. That people who have no place to go at Christmas come to our house. People that have no place to go at Thanksgiving come to our house. Yes, the nation is in sadness because of what's happened in Newtown, Connecticut. We are in sadness. We are in mourning. And the poor family that's going to bury two children today, only God knows what they feel. I pray for the presence of God in their lives. I pray that you, Jesus, would stand with them as they see the open grave. I pray that you would be with them, Lord. I want to say this about what I heard on O'Reilly last night. He said, one of the men who O'Reilly interviewed said that the pro-life people politicized the terrible deaths. He says because they were saying we have abortion and 1.5 million children are killed. That is not politicizing. That is reality. Taking children by violence. That is planting violence. And when we plant violence, we reap violence. Let me tell you, that has nothing to do with the political atmosphere. It has everything to do with what you sow is what you reap. When we say we can take somebody's life, we say that no life is valuable. When we say that we can take somebody's life, we say no life is valuable. Where will it stop? Where will it stop? Where will it stop? That's the question. It isn't going to stop. We are into violence, and we sow violence, and we saw violence at Newtown, Connecticut. We saw violence from a broken human being. Oh, when I saw the face of the broken human being, I had no hate for him. My only experience was, oh, that poor kid. That poor kid needed something that wasn't given to him. That poor kid. Oh, yes, what he did was terribly evil. Evil to the nth degree. Satanic, even. But, you know, only God knows how he felt before this. Only God knows his rejection. I'm not making excuses. These are not excuses. What he did was satanic. But I can feel sorry for him, even though I feel much more sorrow for the victims. Why? Because his life was worth something too. Oh, maybe if he had heard the gospel, maybe if Jesus Christ had come into his life, maybe he would have not done a thing like that. Yes, he had a broken life. All of our lives are broken. But maybe if someone told him that he was loved eternally by God and someone took time to pray with him, maybe we would not have this mourning throughout the country. I wept and wept and wept when I saw those beautiful baby faces, those beautiful, beautiful children whose lives were snuffed out. I wept and wept and wept when I saw the reality of what happened. by someone who did an evil act by Satan himself. I tell you, my friends, the country is in mourning, and the enemy wants to destroy families. He wants to destroy your family. Don't let him do it. Make time for your children. Make time for your children. Make time for your children. What we saw at Newtown, we saw violence. But today, outside of Planned Parenthood, 30 women will go up those stairs and there will be violence done to their children. And when violence is the number one game, what we sow is what we reap. What we sow is what we reap. I cannot hate anyone. We need to pray for the people inside the abortion mills that do this, that they would succumb to the reality of what they're doing. As a matter of fact, every once in a while they do, especially when there are twins. There's somebody there that will say to the woman, there are two of them. Do you want to see them? And every time that the woman says that to the woman that's going to have the abortion, they have kept the twins. I don't understand how one baby, when they say, they don't say about there's only one, but they do say there are two. And the heart of the worker in the mill goes out to the mother and says, do you want to see them on the ultrasound? I tell you, my friends, we need God to do something. We need God to do something. And I'm reading now from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Comfort. Give comfort to my people, says the Lord. Tell my people that their cry has been heard. Their warfare is accomplished. Their sin has been pardoned. For they have received from the Lord's hand double for all this. And tell my people that I am in love with them. Tell my people that they don't need to commit suicide. Tell my people that they don't need to live in darkness. Comfort my people. Let my people know that they have a God that sits on the throne, that hears and answers prayer, and that is for them. Tell my people they have not been abandoned. Even as the evil king provided for Jeconiah in Babylon, how much more will the King of Glory, our Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit provide for us, his children? If indeed an evil king provided for Jeconiah by putting his throne higher than all the other kings while they're in Babylon, away from Jerusalem, but he was kept by the evil king, and that was God's doing. That was God's doing, because provision comes from God. Comfort my people. Comfort my people. Tell them they might not have the money to buy the things that they want to buy for their children, but they can offer their children love. They can offer their children their time. They can offer their children their ear, that they listen to what's happening in their lives. They can offer their children more than a toy, because I'm going to tell you, the toys will be left after the third or fourth day of Christmas. Then they could find something else. You know what we used to do? I'll tell you. My parents never treated us like kings and queens. No, only kings, because there's only boys. But my cousin's parents treated their family like kings and queens. And I would go to their house and I would see all the gifts that they received. My mother and father only gave us one gift each Christmas. But you want to know what? At the end of 6 or 7 days, we got tired of the gift. And I was under the table in a wooden, not a wooden, but a cardboard box, trying to make an automobile. That was the gift. You know, I left the gift that I was given. And, you know, I trying to make a truck out of a box. That was creativity. I left the gift. You know, if I had been given 15 gifts, I would have left the 15 gifts on the third day of Christmas. because it's not about gifts, honest to Pete. It's not about gift. It's about family. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amidst us. It's about God sending His own Son. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about gifts. It's not about gifts. It's not about gifts. It's about the giver. But how many of us really spend time with the giver? How many of us talk about the giver? How many of us will read to our children Luke, the second chapter, and talk about the Christmas reality that Joseph and Mary went to do a census and they ended up in Bethlehem where he was born? Joseph, and where Jesus was born. I tell you, he is of the stock of David, and every prophecy in his first coming has been kept. I want to tell you that God is a provider, and he wants to provide for you, even as the evil king provided for Jeconiah. He wants to provide for you, but you've got to be open to the provision. Maybe you won't have big gifts under the tree, but you can do something for your children that is far greater than any gift you can give them. You can give them yourself. You can say to your daughter, I'm taking you out for breakfast next Saturday. And then the Saturday after, I'm going to take the little boy out for breakfast. And then we're going to go for a ride and we're going to spend the day together. Yeah, that's much more than a gift to have daddy taking you out to breakfast, daddy listening to you, daddy driving you around. I'm telling you what we're supposed to do, we don't do. We think about gifts. We think about what our children are going to get. It has nothing to do with gifts. It has to do with love. It has to do with time. It has to do with family. It has to do with Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in the Son will not perish but have eternal life. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else. And I want to invite you this Sunday to the live nativity at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. We have a live nativity. Mary and Joseph will be there. The shepherds will be there. The angels will be there. And the three kings will be there. We have a live nativity, and we will have animals also. We have a live nativity that we've done for the last 17 years. And we want people to come and enjoy this. Last year, we had a miracle that happened. And I want to tell you about that miracle. No, only a few people came to the live nativity. And I was so sad because, you know, it's so beautiful and everybody's doing other things. They're in the temples of the world, the malls on a Sunday, and that's kind of sick while we're doing this beautiful live nativity. But even though we only had a few people last year, you want to know what? A woman spoke to another woman and said, your son works in this store, told her the name of the store. You have to go and visit him. I believe that their lives were estranged. And last Christmas, because of the live nativity, because those two women were there at the same time, that relationship has been healed. That is the gift of God. That is the gift of God. Here I was crying out saying, we do this and nobody comes. But God, behind the scene, was working something for the good. Only God could do it, and God did it through Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you this Sunday between 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock to come to the live nativity at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. You are welcome to come and rejoice as we sing the Christmas carols, as we announce the birth of the Savior, that unto us in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, is born the Messiah, is born the Savior, is born the Provider. God the Father is a provider, and he provides through Jesus Christ. Jeconiah got provided for by God through an evil king. God will provide for you. Surrender your life to him today. Surrender your life to Jesus today. Remember, if we plant violence, we reap violence. But we want to plant love so that we can reap grace. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.